So this series, Out of the Dark, we've been looking at a couple different things regarding our mental health. For young adults, it's kind of this buzzword topic, this thing that you hear a lot about. You really can't go anywhere without hearing about mental health to some degree, right? Whether it's social media or whatever kind of medium that we have social media-wise, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the things, right? And so what we've been doing with this is when it comes to mental health, oftentimes it's really easy to talk about counseling or therapy or all of these different things. And what we do is we kind of just forget about faith, that our relationship with Jesus actually can have a role to play. And now I'm not saying, we haven't been saying at all throughout the series, that counseling or therapy is bad in any way. We are just saying that at some points, we think that God is not big enough to deal with our mental struggles, right? And so we've been kind of unpacking what does that look like in different areas. And so we've looked at fear. We've looked at how does our faith kind of entertain or work with our fear? Does it actually solve that problem? We've talked about despair last week, depression. Like, what does it mean to follow Jesus in the midst of our mental health struggles? And so tonight we're going to kind of continue that conversation. But what I want to do really fast is I just want to kind of center our hearts, spend some time praying before the Lord. Father, I just pray tonight that there's people in this room, Lord, that I think we need a dose of this. Lord, I think we need you, Lord, in the midst of our mental health, in the midst of our struggles, that God, sometimes we can move you out of the picture. My heart tonight, my prayer tonight, Lord, is that you would work in our hearts, that Father, you would just give us a heart that is willing to listen to your voice and to be obedient to you. So God, we're grateful for just our time together tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, do you guys remember your senior year of high school? You guys remember that? It's just a weird season. Like, I was thinking about this past week. I'm like, half the time, you're just thinking about college, right? Because, like, as soon as you start senior year, honestly, even junior year, it kicks in. People are like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with your life? Like, have you got your 70 years planned out for the rest of your life? And you're like, nope, I have no clue what I'm doing, right? And you're like, I have no clue what's happening. Because it's kind of this weird season. If you had a job when you were in high school, you feel like you're, like, half adult and half kid. And so you're like, people treat you like an adult sometimes, but a kid other times. And you're just like, it's kind of confusing, right? You're like, I don't know what's happening. And then you get about, I don't know, for me, it's about like a quarter of the way through your senior year. And you're just like, yeah, this is dumb. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm done trying. And senioritis kicks in real hard. And I'm like, I was a perfectionist in high school up until that point. I went through that first quarter of my senior year and I was like, yep, I'm done. Like, I'm checked out. I don't want to do this anymore, right? That this kind of indifference settles in that season, right? It's really easy for us to just be like, I don't care anymore. Like, I'm almost done. I'm almost through with it. I'm just going to skate by and so I can go off to college or work that job or do that thing, right? And I think for most of us, what I want to spend the time talking about tonight is this idea of indifference, this idea of apathy. And so the feeling of pretty much I don't care. Webster Dictionary kind of talks about it this way. That is a lack of interest or concern. But I believe this is that apathy is actually a silent killer of our day. I don't think we talk about it enough. And this is what I mean by that. I did a little digging this week and I found this, that the vast majority of young adults don't feel deeply connected to community. So what does that mean? Roughly 50%, that is half, rarely spend time in community. What does that mean? They become indifferent about people. Right? It's like, I don't really care enough about people to do the hard work of relationships. You see apathy creep in that way. 33% do not intend to engage civically or socially. They believe this, that they don't have a voice that matters in the community. It's like, it doesn't really matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do with my time, whether I vote or don't vote, whether I'm active in the community or not. It doesn't really matter, 33%. Roughly 42 to 49% of Gen Z say they don't feel their daily activities are purposeful or motivating. That is almost 50%. That's like half of the young adults that you know half of this room, we are walking around and we don't feel motivated about what we do. What we do is not life-giving. And so the lie that we believe is this, that what we do doesn't matter. And so apathy, it's not just like this idea of not caring, but apathy, it's what happens when our indifference about our life actually makes its way into our daily life. So it means I don't act, I don't do anything. When I think of apathy, I think of this. Apathy is just simply not moving. You're just not doing anything. Not necessarily doing anything bad, you're just not doing anything, right? You don't care enough to move. And so when young adults say they have no clear purpose or direction, again, that's 58%, and when less than half feel motivated to engage in everyday life, we're not just talking about just like boredom or fatigue that we feel at times. But what we're talking about is that there are souls that have stopped hoping. They believe that their life does not have a meaning or a purpose. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, I felt that. Like, this isn't a them out there thing. I have had moments where I'm like, what am I doing here? But for some of us in the room, it might be easy to kind of dismiss this as someone else's struggle. But I believe this, that there are people in this room that feel this at a soul level. That they're like, yeah, if I could sum up my life, I don't know what to do because I stopped caring. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do with my days. I don't know what to do with my time. And so if that is you tonight, I ask you, lean in for a moment. Because I think Jesus has something for us tonight that actually will help us as we walk through this. And so the question comes with, how did we get here as a generation? Like, why is Gen Z the way that we are when it comes to indifference, when it comes to apathy? And I think there are kind of three core things when I was thinking about this. And the first one is this, that I believe we have lost connection to meaning. That when we lose connection to meaning, we stop moving. So this is when life feels small. My day-to-day life, I can kind of blow by. I can just shoot the breeze. I can go on autopilot. I don't have to care about my day because it doesn't matter. Right? That some of us, we feel this. But some of us, I think we have lost meaning because what we believe is this, is that my life is about me. Is that my life is about me. And so I lose meaning because what I feel like is when all I do is centered around myself, it doesn't actually fulfill me. And so I'm left not caring about anything. I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but if I spend a whole week binging a TV show that I really want to do, I do not leave that week so excited and hyped on life, right? I leave that week depressed and anxious because I didn't actually do anything, right? I feel this deep sense of numbness in my soul that I'm like, I did nothing but selfish things for a full week. Right? There's this sense of like, I can't just live for myself. That can't be the only thing I'm living for. There has to be some other meaning to my life. The second thing is this, is I believe we've trained ourselves to tune out. And now this one I think is actually really subtle. Sometimes we don't really think about it like this. But I did a little bit more digging that I think our phones are actually one of the things that leave us feeling indifferent and apathetic about our lives. And this is what I mean by this, that young adults, on average, now this doesn't represent everybody, spend 7 to 9 hours a day on their phone. So that might not be social media all the time, right? But 7 to 9 hours a day. I found this quote, says this, current phone habits could cumulatively add up to, hear this, 25 years or more spent on mobile devices over a lifetime based on daily hours tracked from childhood into adulthood. I'm like, are you tracking with me? Like, that is insane. Like, 25 years of my life spent like this? Like, no wonder I feel apathetic about my life. Right? I'm staring at a little brick for 25 years of my life. Right? Like, there has to be something more than just that. The scary thing is that number rises. So people that spend more than 9 hours a day, or around 9 hours, could reach to a total of 4 decades. 4 decades. Like, that is an insane amount of time spent staring at a pocket screen. And this is a sermon for another day, but no wonder we are apathetic about our lives. We're barely living them. We spend most of it on a screen. And I say that because I feel this in a deep level, right? I'm like, I look at my screen time, I'm like, holy smokes, like, what did I do all week? Like, I thought I was just responding to texts. I'm like, no, I was on Instagram for 2 hours. Like, how did that happen, right? But I think another thing that we do as young adults is this, is we distract ourselves. The reason that maybe we feel indifferent about things is that when hard things come up, we kind of just push it down. We push down all hard feelings, all hard emotions. We just kind of numb out the pain. You fall asleep with white noise in your ears because you can't handle the silence because your thoughts are too loud, right? That we distract ourselves into meaninglessness. That we don't feel purpose. We don't feel driven because we distract ourselves. And I actually see this one in teens the most, this idea of emotional self-protection. That for some of us, indifference, what it does is it becomes armor. That if I stop caring about anything, nothing can hurt me. So if I don't care what they think, then it doesn't matter what they say. That we can use our indifference as a weapon to hide from the things that are painful in our life. But I think that also leaves us feeling purposeless. We're like, what are we doing? We're distracting ourselves to death. I think the third thing is this, is that we've lost touch of our why. We don't know why we are on this earth, right? Like, if I were to ask you right now, why are you here? Like, what's the purpose of your life on earth? Like, it's a big question, but it's also a very important question, right? And so if I don't have a good answer to that question, no wonder I feel apathetic. I feel indifferent. There's nothing to care about if there's no direction for my life. If I don't know where I'm going, I'm not going to be in a rush to get there. And so what we find is that we're kind of on a joyride through life. We're just like, you know what? I don't know where I'm going, so I might as well just go as fast as I can. Do whatever I want. Find the cheap thing to numb out the pain. I think if we're honest tonight, I'm like, I don't know about you guys, I feel this. That this indifference and apathy sets into my life in so many different ways. And it's one thing for us to kind of feel indifferent about what we want for lunch, right? Like, that doesn't really matter as much. But what happens when you feel indifferent about God? What happens when you feel indifferent about the things that genuinely matter? Then our indifference and our apathy, it becomes an issue. And so many of us, we feel that. We feel apathetic about God because we might be here and we might sing and we might attend and we might serve and we might do things at the church, but inside, we're numb. It's like, if I was really genuine with myself, I don't know how much I genuinely care. I'm kind of just here because I know it's a good thing to do. Or my friends come. Or sometimes there's coffee. Right? It's like, there's things in our life that we're like, I don't know if I actually genuinely care about this. And so this doesn't mean that you don't love God. Right, the feeling of indifference, it might not mean that there's not any genuine love for God. It might mean that your heart's tired. It might mean that you're numbing it out in different ways. It might mean that you're running on autopilot, going through life, going through the motion. And so you might be asking, like, what's the problem? Like, how do we explain this? Why do we all feel this sense of indifference? And I would say this, love. love. And you're like, what do you mean by that? How is love the solution to this? So if apathy is not moving, what is love? Well, I think what love is this, is that it moves us. We move for what we love. And we know this to be true, right? Like, I work with middle schoolers a lot, so I'm like, I feel this in a soul level, because when you try and sit down middle schoolers after a lesson, Branson knows what I'm talking about. You sit down with them. They just talked for about 15 minutes about a Jesus story or something. And you sit down, you have this sheet of discussion questions. And if you ask them those questions on that sheet, they will not give you anything. They will stare back at you, or they will goof off with their friend. As soon as you bring snacks into the equation, they are all ears. They will do anything because they love snacks. They don't love being asked small group questions. So if you bring out the snacks, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, they will do anything you say. Like, I've made them do push-ups before. I'm like, they'll do anything for Flamin' Hot Cheetos or Cheez-Its or Goldfish or whatever it is, right? Because they love it, right? So they'll do the thing if they love it, right? It's the same way with, like, hobbies. It's like, some hobbies you're like, why do you do that, right? Like, why do people, like, rock climbing is one of those things for me. I'm like, people do it without ropes, like the guy who climbed that tower. I don't know his name, right? But he climbed this tower. I'm like, why are you doing that without a rope? That is insane. Why would you climb up a skyscraper? But he loves it, right? There's something about it that he just loves. You can't keep him away for it. He will move for it even if it's dangerous, right? Even in my life, I feel this, right? Right now, my hobby is I got an espresso machine, and now it's my personality, and everything I do is now about this espresso machine. I bought way too much stuff for it that I don't know how to use. And so I'm like, I'm there, but I'm like, I love it. I have no clue what's happening, but I will buy stuff, and I will watch YouTube videos, and I will do all the things. Why? Because I love it, right? We're all that way, right? We have things that we'll move for, right? For some of us, it's money, right? It's like, I got bills to pay, I have things to save up for, I've got debt, and so I'll move and get up in the morning and get out of bed because I need money, right? We'll move for that. Or maybe for some of us, it's our achievement, right? It's like, man, I really want to achieve this thing, and I love this kind of, maybe it's recognition for some of us. Maybe for some of us, it's the status that we love being known, and so we will do whatever we can to reach the top, that our love for things moves us. For some of us, it's relationships, that, well, I will go to the ends of the earth for this person. Why? Because I love them. For some of us, it might be pleasure, that we love our happiness. We love feeling good, and so I will do whatever I can to be happy, that I'll move for what I love. And I believe this, is that no one is truly apathetic. Like, no one is truly just like, I don't care about anything, right? I think this, we are just selective with what we are passionate about. I think we're just selective with our passions. That some things we think are worth loving and worth moving for, and some things they're not. And so the question tonight is not like, how do I stir up this passion, and how do I grit it out, and how do I not be indifferent, and how do I care? It's not me sitting down and trying really hard to care about something. The question is this, what am I loving? Like, what will I move for? What will I do something for? And so I find this, is that love is the antidote to apathy. That we need to find what we love. So find what you love, and you'll find what will move you. But what we don't need are these counterfeit loves. What we need is something worth loving. We need something worth loving. And we need to stop loving the things that will never satisfy us. So it kind of begs this question, what do I do in the midst of my indifference? What can I do to shake off the low-level soul numbness that I feel? And so I want to take a look at the least apathetic person to ever live, and his name is Jesus. Right, that in the life of Jesus, you see this continued passion, that he moves for things, that he goes. And so I want to do this. I want to take a moment tonight, and I want to do a case study of Jesus, our loving motivator. That to follow Jesus, to follow in his footsteps, let's take a look at his life. What did Jesus move for? Right? Why did Jesus move? Like, what got Jesus out of bed in the morning? Like, we'll ask each other that, but I'm like, the Savior of the universe, God in the flesh, like, why did he wake up? Why was he on the earth? And I want to take a minute to look at that. I think the first one is this. I think he loved God. I think what got him out of bed in the morning was he had a deep love for his Father. Not only that, I think he knew that he was loved by his Father. John 14:31 says this, I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Do you see the order of that? He loves his Father, so I do something. Right? My passion is driven by what I love, that I will do things for people and things that I love. That Jesus, this is an action coming from his love for the Father. He is not earning the Father's love. Like, do you notice that in this? That Jesus is not earning the Father's love by doing something. He's saying, I love the Father and do exactly what he says. And so at the source of Jesus's motivation is not his ministry success. It's not his miracles. It's not his pleasure. It's not his happiness. But at the center of Jesus's motivation is a love for God that was so strong that it moved him to action. I think there's another thing that we see in the life of Jesus, and it's this, that he loved people. The thing that got Jesus out of bed in the morning, the thing that brought him to earth was you and I. We see that in Luke 19:10, it says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The purpose of Jesus' mission was to save a broken and hurting people. That's what love does. It enters onto the scene and it is not apathetic. It does not care that Jesus, his love for us, drives him to action. And we see this in his ministry. Right? Matthew 9:36 says this, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We see Jesus walks around with a compassion and care and love for people that drew him into action. So we see even in John 3:16 that Jesus, he didn't just stop at healings. He didn't just talk about loving people, but he showed it. The purpose of Jesus' mission on the earth was for us. That's supposed to be John 3:16. So, sorry about that. John 3:16, right? We know the verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That love, it moved him not just to wake up in the morning. It moved him to the cross. What we see is that apathy, it selfishly protects itself. But love, it gives itself. That apathy, it withdraws from connection. But love, it moves closer. That apathy sits on the sideline, but love, it gets in the dirt. It cares for people genuinely. He moved towards the broken because he loved. He moved toward the cross because he loved. And this is the thing. When we think about indifference, is I think this is so important. The real danger of indifference is not just that we feel indifferent about God, but it's this. We buy the lie that God is indifferent about us. we can buy the lie that God does not care. That if I think that I can earn God's love, then it matters if I have passion for God or not. That if I feel numb about God, he probably feels numb about me. That if I don't care about God in the way that I know I should, then that means God must be the same way. The whole point of Jesus' mission and Jesus' life to seek and to save the lost was to show us that he is not indifferent. That God genuinely cares. He doesn't just say it. He actually showed it with his life. And so what happens is we can project our indifference onto God. That's not how God works. And so maybe the problem tonight is this, not just that we have lost sight of what we love. Maybe the problem is that we have lost sight of who actually loves us. The question is this. When was the last time the love of God amazed you? Like, when was the last time that you, like, genuinely thought about the love of God? And it wasn't just a church word that we sing in a song. It wasn't just something that's like a feel-good thing. But it was a genuine care and love that you feel from God. And I don't ask that to be manipulative or to guilt anybody. I'm saying this, that I think a lot of us have become numb to the one thing that matters the most. And it's God. So it comes with this question, what do we do in the midst of our apathy? I think the first thing is this, is you ask God to remind you of the true depth of his love. That I think some of us, we need woken up from our distraction. That some of us, we fill the noise. That some of us, what we do is we sit on our phone for hours and hours and hours, and then we wonder, God, where are you? God, I don't feel passionate about you. Why do I not care about you? I know I should. I think it's because we're just distracted. We need to ask God, God, would you transform me with your love? That Paul to the Corinthian church says this. In chapter 5, verse 14, he says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Does the love of Christ compel us? Does it bring us to move? Does it actually change the way that I live my life? Or is it just something that I show up and I hear? That what would it look like to let your passion be driven by a God who endlessly loves you? That God's not waiting for you to perform. He's not waiting for you to do something really cool for him to be like, all right, now you can go do good things and you can feel like you love me, right? But we need to start at his love. So it's not our works. It's not our shame that compels us. It is the love. And the word that Paul uses, compel there, it actually means this, to press in and around on all sides. That it is this thing that affects every area of my life. That means when I go to work, the thing that drives me, Christ's love. When I go to school, the thing that drives me, Christ's love. When I'm making espresso for my espresso machine, Christ's love, right? Like everything that I do, in and around, all around, everything in my life comes back to this thing. This is my why. The reason that I am here is because of Christ's love for me. Otherwise, I would be hopeless. that Christ's love, it does not pop in our lives if I don't realize how desperate I am for it. If I don't realize how broken I am without a God who comes into my life and compels me with his love, who meets me in the midst of my brokenness, then I'll just think that, man, there's not much worth living for. The world is broken. Everything around me is broken. That the love of Christ needs to compel us. I want to end with this, and the band can make their way up. John 15, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says this, as the Father has loved me, notice this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Again, Jesus, he's working out of the love of the Father. He says this, now remain in my love. That word remain can also be abide. It's to dwell, to make your home in. That everything in my life, that I need to stay close to the love of God, that if I wander off too far, maybe it's I start to feel numb. I forget the love of Christ. It says this, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That somehow being rooted and remaining in the love of God, it produces this joy for our life. This joy and this passion. And it's not just any sort of joy that is passive, but it is a joy that does something. In the following verses, Jesus says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And so how do I climb out of this pit of indifference? How do I climb out of this soul-level numbness that I feel about the things that truly matter? I think it's this, be surrounded by, amazed by, and remain in God's love. Maybe for some of us, it's we need to identify, what do I love? Like, what gets me out of bed in the morning? What will I move for? For some of us, we need to reorder what we love. Maybe Jesus' love has become something that's just like, it's cliche and we say it at church, but the actual experience of the joy that Jesus is talking about is some distant thing that I really have scarcely experienced. That maybe some of us, we need to remember that we don't earn Christ's love. That the love of Christ compels us because Christ moved for us. So we move for him. As Jesus has loved us, we love. What gets us out of the pit of indifference? It's reordering what we love. It's understanding Christ's love for us. And so, Father, we're done tonight. We're grateful for, Lord, your love for us. That oftentimes your love can become this thing that maybe we talk about at church and it seems far off, but God, I pray that tonight your love would break into our hearts, that we would feel our need and our brokenness, that God, you are a God who moves. You're a God who loves us. Father, help us to move for you. Help us to love you with how we live. In your name.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. This recording is from the Young Adult Ministry at Grace Church, Norton Campus, and I want to let you know that if you're between the ages of 18 to 28, we would love to see you on Thursday nights at 6:30. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.